This recording is brought to you by ListenUpNorth.com, a podcast featuring the North Penns Writers Group, recorded here in the Community Centre in Stanhope, in the heart of Weardale, County Durham, nestling in the beautiful North Pennines.
Bountiful Beauty, a poem written and read by Christine Bartell. Brittle brown branches break, blackened bracken burns, bronzed beams bend, backwoods, backwaters, bare bluebottles buzzing. Belligerent blusty breath brings baleful blight, bemoaning black-blue blots backdrop. Brashly bursting banks become boggy, blizzards blow banefully. Buds burst bountifully, bringing beautiful blossoms, blooming beyond borders. Backpackers backtrack, bamboozled, baffled by boundaries. Boots bringing blisters become better by babbling brook. Bees buzz beneath bluebells, benevolent breezes benignly blow. Beaming blackberries, blueberries blush. Big burning balloon brings balmy bedtimes.
The Wading Race, a monologue written and read by Judy Goodwin. I never shone at anything when I was small. I couldn't run for falling, and I was hopeless with a ball. With hand-to-eye coordination, which was usually lost in translation. When the school with parents built a swimming pool, a grand opening was called for, as befit the school. A swimming gala would both entertain and promote the operation. I never shone at anything when I was small, but I was head and shoulders better at being tall. The sea didn't come to Salford, and I hadn't learned to swim. My mother forbid public baths where verrucas and perverts met, though being born in Salford, we were used to being wet. So the head devised a wading race for non-swimmers and the dim. I fulfilled both criteria. Being chosen for anything was a novelty, you know. I remember feeling anxious about being out on show, and I didn't have a swimsuit nor a smelly rubber hat. The hat had to be purchased, because my hair was very long. Mother could knit my costume, she could make it for a song. I protested, I was entered, it was settled, and that was that. The big day dawned, the school grounds heaved with families at play. Beside the pool, all seats were taken for the highlight of the day. Girls and boys raced in teams up and down the chlorinated water. Shouting grew to screaming as the swimmers fought to the end. Then cheers for the victor from their family and friends, presented with a prize by the head in gown and mortar. What about you, you asked? Did your great height win the day? Well, friends, I strode out through the water in my own quite clumsy way. There was splashing and some crashing when a few kids lost their feet. I ploughed onwards for the under sixes. At last my light had shone. I had reached the finish when I saw my costume had all but gone, and that mother's face had turned the colour of a well-cooked beet. Climbing from the pool and covering my modesty truly stretched my skill. Like a drowned rat I emerged, tears falling, wailing shrill. As my mother quickly wrapped away my body and my shame, I had won the prize and learned that winning can come with a price. In victory and maintaining dignity, a conflict can arise. I almost shot at something when I was small, and it's my parents' meanness that must take the blame.
Tree, a haiku written and read by Avril Grundy. Tree stands majestic in dawn's light, high on hilltop, behind wall of stone.
This is part of a series of contemporary monologues inspired by the Francisco de Zurbarán paintings of Jacob and his 12 sons in Auckland Castle. This is the wife of Asher, son number 9. Keris, written and read by Chris Powell. I love my man, with his big nose and his 2 left feet. He's a baker, what's not to love? His facility with crème pâtissière and butterpuff pastry more than compensates for his lack of agility on the dance floor. This morning, he brought me a cinnamon bun in bed with a cup of tea, fresh baked, still warm, filled the room with the scent of contentment. He said, "You should be drinking coffee with that curry like the Swedes do." But I like my tea. You can take the girl out of Clonetley, but anyway, he used to be a plasterer. Come home one Friday afternoon, dust from head to toe and sort of collapsed onto the best couch in his overalls. That's very unlike him. He's usually so particular. He's not a garrulous man, but he's polite, always has a word. That afternoon just sat there, staring into space, motionless. After about 10 minutes, he banged his fist onto his knees and said, "Keris." I know it's serious when he calls me Keris. "Keris, I need a change of career. I fancy taking up baking." I said, "Dew ash, are you sure? Icing a cake isn't quite the same as plastering a wall. And besides, you don't know one end of a cherry fondant from another." "I'll learn," he said. And he did. Took to it like butter icing to a fairy cake. Don't know where it comes from. Not from his mama, cooking's atrocious. Anyway, he went on courses, learned about soda bread, sourdough, ciabattas, oatmeal baps, stotties, breads with rye, with oats, black bread, white bread in plats with a shiny crust, benign loaves, lazy loaves, loaves that roll and loll and glow on the shelves and in the baskets on the counter. We have a shop now. Asher bakes and I cook the books. Just a joke, you never know who's listening. It really took off when he started on cakes. You don't get me started on the cakes. I don't know when to stop. I'd never have imagined this life, mind. Not from our first encounter. I'd gone north with my mate Dill. We were in this pub in Llandudno. I was at the karaoke, channeling the great Shirley Bee, as you do, when in they walked. Stood in the doorway and scanned the clientele. Illuminated the room like arc lights, sweeping into the dusty crevices, over the ledges sticky with stale beer, around the weird corners created when they remodelled the ladies' toilets, exposing the illicit hands around buttocks and inside shirts, or slipping vodka shots into sugary cocktails and alcopops. And then suddenly, all the girls were looking over their shoulders, or their partner's shoulders, through the sweaty gloom at these three iridescent peacocks in their fancy jackets and soft leather shoes. You could tell they weren't from those parts, not from Wales. And you could tell they were brothers, even though they held themselves quite differently. Something in their demeanour. Gad had this powerful stance, solid, authoritative. You could see he'd been in the military. Joseph was the flash one, the real peacock with his silk shirt and white loafers. Good looking, mind. But Asher was always the one for me. He smiled. He listened. A man can be as fit as you like, but if he doesn't listen, sorry boys, we're not interested.
A liturgy for dereliction. A poem written and read by Susan Nicholson. Mariah, Peniel and Capel Mawr sit amongst their neighbours in their tight terraces, and so we pass them by. Stones laid with grand pretension, they baptised us, chastised us, married and buried us, though now we pass them by. Gutters broken and pews long sold, their crumbling walls make a loud noise with sales posters, and still we pass them by. Once they were from us, of us, for us, with sparse coins subscribing brick, slate, brass or Bible, but now we pass them by. Our beliefs now sit in virtual realities, no stones, lecterns, or processional hymns needed. In faithlessness, we can only pass them by.
On the Porch, a monologue written and read by Jenny Spooner. Howdy, folks. Glad you could drop by. Just move that box a little. Take a seat and sit a while. Keep me company. I don't see many people these days. By the way, the name's William Antrim. What am I doing, ma'am? Well, I'm clearing things out. That's what I'm doing. And no, you'll not be in the way. You see, I'm not long for this world. Got the same cough as my Catherine. The boys and me buried her at Silver City in the fall of 78, and I think they'll soon be burying me. See this box? It's Catherine's. Came with her from the old country, full of shamrocks and rosary beads. But right at the bottom was this. Fancy little shirt, ain't it? She must have made it for one of the boys, most likely our Billy. His reputation as a neat dresser must have come from somewhere. Yes, ma'am, he was small, and that got him bullied. But he was as agile as a cat. Do you know that one time he got out of jail by wriggling up through the chimney? Couldn't have done that if he'd been big. Good job he took after cats, though. He needed all their lives, and some more. What did he do to end up in jail? Stealing horses was one of his favourites, along with killing folk. Supposed to have gunned down 21 men, our Billy. You most likely know him better as Billy the Kid. He's dead now, too. Took a bullet in the chest from the gun of Sheriff Pat Garrett. Crying shame, that's what it was, ma'am. So there's only his brother Joseph left, so I specs he'll have to be the one doing the burying. Oh, do you have to go? Don't suppose I'll see you again. So it was nice to meet you. This podcast was produced by ListenUpNorth.com, featuring the work of the North Penns Writers Group, Stanup, in County Durham, and was sponsored by Weardale Area Action Partnership.